Welcome to our ContemplativeActivist.com podcast. We believe Jesus of Nazareth is inviting a whole new generation of Christ followers to leave what we call 3B ministry, where we measure success using building size, bucks in the offering, and butts in the seats, and become 3C contemplative activists, where the true Christian life consists of communion with Christ, community with one another, and responding to Jesus' commission to go out into the world, caring for souls for the greater glory of God. We hope you'll enjoy today's program. And now, here's your host, Pastor Marty Bowler.
Hi, friends. Welcome to this ContemplativeActivist.com podcast. It's our hope that these podcasts will offer you a little bit of hope and encouragement as you continue your journey with Jesus. If you're just joining us, we are in the midst of a new Lenten series entitled Religion or Relationship, 5 Days That Define Our Calling Christ. We hope you'll enjoy this series of 27 podcasts and blogs that focuses a bit deeper on the first 5 days of what we now call Holy Week. Using the gospel text found in Matthew 21 through 25, we explore the major differences between organized religion and true relationship with Christ. Practical sessions that give us Jesus' view of spirituality as compared to the religiousness found in so many people today. Today's theme is session number 10, Exposing a Stone-Cold Heart. Let me begin by reading today's Lectio Divina from Matthew 22, verses 15 through 22, and I'll be reading from the Message Bible. That's when the Pharisees plotted a way to trap him into saying something damaging. They sent their disciples, with a few of Herod's followers mixed in, to ask, "Teacher, we know you have integrity. Teach the way of God accurately. Are indifferent to popular opinion and don't pander to your students. So tell us honestly, is it right to pay taxes to Caesar or not?" Jesus knew they were up to no good. He said, "Why are you playing these games with me? Why are you trying to trap me? Do you have a coin? Let me see it." They handed him a silver piece. "This engraving, who does it look like?" Jesus asked. "And whose name is on it?" They said, "Caesar." "Then give to Caesar what is his, and give to God what is his." The Pharisees were speechless. They went off, shaking their heads. Today's passage in Matthew's Gospel is often used as a sermon text when a pastor is doing a preaching series on the subject of money or tithing. And yes, Jesus does give us some wonderful insight on how to be a dedicated follower of God, giving our all in all to the things of Christ, while also living in this world where the only certainties in life, as Benjamin Franklin once wrote, are death and taxes. Indeed, giving to God what is God's while giving to Caesar what is Caesar's is excellent advice for anyone who dares to live, as Jesus said, in this world, but not of it. You can see John 17, verses 15 and 16, or 1 John 2, verses 15 through 17 for more on that. But today, as I ponder on this familiar text, I'm struck by the shockingly rebellious attitude displayed by those who have come to question Jesus. Think about this for a minute. Here's the leadership team, men appointed by God to lead the religious system of Jesus' day, plotting and scheming on how to best trap an honest man into saying something damaging, something off the cuff that can be used against him. So they cook up a plot to bring some of their own disciples together, sending them off with the order to do whatever is necessary to catch Jesus saying or doing something that can be used to turn both the Roman government and the people of God against him. I think in legal terms, that's called entrapment, a tool used by human beings to sniff out any piece of evidence or provoke an illegal action that will help prove a case against that person. Isn't it interesting to see church leaders stoop to such extreme measures in order to entrap Jesus for their own purposes? And not only that, but look at what these religious cronies say about Jesus. Quote, "Teacher, we know you have integrity. Teach the way of God accurately. Are indifferent to popular opinion and don't pander to your students," unquote. Wow. Talk about incriminating yourself, saying things that will uncover the evil in one's heart. You see, if these guys really believe what they're saying about Jesus, that he is a man of integrity, teaches God's word accurately, is indifferent to popular opinion, and doesn't play politics with religion, then why, for heaven's sake, aren't these guys actually listening and responding to the truth they are speaking about him? Apparently, my friends, now get ready for this. You and I, as followers of God, leaders of God's people, can be sitting in the presence of eternal truth, hearing it for ourselves firsthand, but because our hearts are so cold and hardened, the truth will fail to penetrate our empty souls. Ouch. So when Jesus, the author of truth, speaks truth to these guys, the only thing they can do is remain speechless, wandering back into their darkness and confusion, shaking their heads. Oy vey. Now that's what I call hardened souls and stone-cold hearts, don't you think? Which now begs the question, could it be that today in our generation, church leadership, those who are commissioned by God to shepherd God's people, could allow our hearts to become so cold, so hardened, that we'd not only miss all Jesus has for us, but actually, like these first century church leaders, become a hardened enemy of all God wants to do in our midst? In truth, I'm not writing today to accuse anyone of that, but I do feel the need to at least ask ourselves the question. Will you pray with me as we close? Father God, I'm astonished at the way these first century church leaders were able to not only deny the good coming from your Son, but actually become an active enemy to all Jesus was doing and saying in his day. I need to pay attention to this story today, not just because there's a good lesson here for me on how to handle finances, but more importantly, weighing the condition of my heart. Holy Spirit, show me where I might be hearing truth, but rejecting it at the same time, for your name's sake. Amen. So here are some questions for you to ponder today. Knowing that it's possible for me to be in Jesus' presence, yet still reject his truth, his integrity, and his goodness, where am I in such danger today? What motivations, both external and internal, might be driving me into such contradictions of the soul? Am I willing to examine my heart, allowing these faults to be exposed so that I might better follow Jesus wherever he might lead? Finally, we'd love to hear from you. Let us know how you are experiencing God as you ponder on our Lenten theme of religion or relationship today. Go over to our website, thecontemplativeactivist.com, and click on the Contact Us page. We look forward to hearing from you. This is Marty Bowler, hoping your day will be full of God presence. And may the good Lord bless and keep you. See you next time on The Contemplative Activist.